You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The baseball world has come here to Lake Buena Vista, Florida, the Swan and Dolphin Resort, and we are talking Phillies baseball. Tim McMaster along with Todd Zielecki, our MLB.com Phillies reporter, and every day you get to meet with Matt Klentak, the general manager of the Phillies, and he fills you guys in on what he wants to fill you guys in on.
Right.
But just talk about today's meeting. You just came out of it. What kind of information did he have?
Well, he basically told us that the Phillies are close to a deal for a relief pitcher. Source since told me that it is going to be Pat Neshek. Pat Neshek will be coming back about on a two-year deal worth around a total of $16+ million. Not a total surprise, to be honest with you. Pat got traded to the Rockies on July 26th. He was an all-star. He was the Phillies' all-star representative in July. Had a great season with the Phillies. He said that day he loved his time in Philly, and he actually would make Philadelphia his number one choice in terms of the offseason as a free agent. And, you know, players say that stuff all the time, like the nice exiting sort of comments about the team that they're leaving. But he was sincere about it, and there's going to be a reunion. And, you know, Matt didn't talk about Pat specifically. He talked more in general terms. And it sounds like the Phillies, if they can't go out and find some starting pitching that they consider a fair price, they're going to really try to fortify that bullpen. So if some of the Phillies' young starters are getting hit around or run up a high pitch count in the fourth, fifth inning, they're not going with their long man necessarily. They have a lot better options to give them a better chance to win. And I think they feel that that can work. You've seen a lot of teams do that, kind of move towards that, you know, pulling the starter out in the fifth inning and going with a strong bullpen. And I think the Phillies, if they do that, they can put a few more wins on the board next season.
Always nice, too, when you have so many young pitchers that you don't think the innings are going to get up there like that. A good way to help them out for sure. We want your questions as well. Get them in the comments section. We already have some. Neshek, people are obviously interested in. Also, what's the team's biggest focus other than bullpen here at the winter meetings?
Well, it's really just pitching in general.
Yes, yeah.
Pitching in general. I've been getting a lot of questions about the offense, but I think they're going to try to stick with what they've got. They want to learn more about Aaron Altherr and Nick Williams and Jorge Alfaro and J.P. Crawford. They want to see if these guys can play or not. They want to give Rhys Hoskins another opportunity. This might be Mike Alfranco's last shot at third base to prove himself. But I think the focus with this team is, as Matt Klentak has put it, run prevention. So if that means, like I said, not a starter, that means loading up on relief pitchers. The other hot topic, I guess, is what are they going to do in the infield, right? Because you have Freddie Galvis and Cesar Hernandez. You have J.P. Crawford. You have Mike Alfranco. And at some point, Scott Kingery could get called up. So that's five infielders, possibly, once Kingery is called up this season to play four positions. And so as a result, there's some talk about Galvis being traded. There's some talk about Cesar Hernandez being traded. Hernandez, the Angels have some interest in him. The Padres have some interest in Freddie Galvis. When we talked to Matt Klentak earlier about those two guys and just about interest in the middle infielders, he said they're getting calls, teams are interested, but really nothing to heat things up, I guess you could say. Maybe the other teams are looking at the Phillies, seeing if the Phillies will drop their asking price, but the Phillies right now are maintaining that they can move forward with all these infielders and kind of use guys based on matchups to keep guys fresh, etc. Now, will that work in the long term? That remains to be seen. You know, it's one thing to play guys in September with that philosophy, but it's another thing to go into the season with Freddie Galvis, Cesar Hernandez, J.P. Crawford, Michael Franco, and Scott Kingery and say, hey, you guys are all going to be kind of moving around, being kind of part-time players.
Yeah, good point. Excellent. Ray wants to know, and I think this is a question that most of the Phillies fan base wants to know, big picture, what's the timeline for the Phillies to be a contender? More like 2020 is what he's adding in there, but do they have a different idea?
Well, you know, it's funny. The Phillies have been very careful not to mention a timetable, a year when they can be competitive. But here's what I think is going, what they think is happening behind the scenes. Next season, they're hoping to see some improvement. You know, they lost 96 games this year. If you look at the Cubs rebuilds and the Astros rebuilds, and I'm not saying the Phillies have the same talent that those teams have, but you saw those teams lose 95-plus games, you know, for a few years, and that next year they took a step into the 70-win plateau, 70-75 wins. I think the Phillies are hoping to kind of get in that area. If everything breaks right, maybe become a 500 team. I think 2019 is not out of the question, because next winter, I know this has been really tough for Phillies fans to kind of grasp, but they've been kind of targeting that offseason class of 2018, 2019. That's Bryce Harper. That's Manny Machado. That's, you know, possibly Clayton Kershaw. There's some other studs in that class. The Phillies can get some of those guys, believe it, they're trying to do that so they can compete in 2019. So I think 2019 at the earliest, if they're not competing by 2020, then something has really gone wrong.
You mentioned signing Manny Machado a year from now when he's a free agent. Well, we got a lot of questions about, hey, is Manny Machado a Philly yet on the trade route?
Not yet. I don't think it's going to happen right now. Now, listen, the Phillies are very well positioned to go out and acquire somebody like Manny Machado, somebody like Chris Archer, somebody like Gerrit Cole, should they become available. They have a very, very deep farm system. And they also have some players, some young talent at the major league level that could be attractive to a rebuilding team, another rebuilding team, right? So, you know, the Phillies could package Mike Alfranco, some of the team's young major league ready pitching, and a prospect or two to, you know, possibly get Manny Machado. But the trick with Manny Machado is, like you just mentioned, and I mentioned earlier, he's a free agent after next season. So the Phillies are not going to trade for Manny Machado this offseason unless they can sign into an extension immediately.
Right.
So that would have to be the deal. I do believe the Phillies have the talent to acquire him this offseason, but they're not going to acquire him unless they can get him signed for 4, 5, 6 years down the road. Because if they cannot do that, then there's absolutely zero point in making that trade this offseason, knowing you could lose them next offseason. So just, again, wait till next offseason to try to pursue him. So I think that's a possibility.
Now, in theory, and it seems like Machado is a guy that wants to be a free agent, is heading that direction.
Right.
But in theory, when negotiating a trade, if you were to do that, it's happened, I think, in the past where the team will give the other team a window to negotiate.
Yeah.
And if they can work something out, then they can make
the
trade
happen. It could be like a 72-hour window or something to see if they can get a deal done. I know the Phillies did something similar with Roy Halladay when they agreed to terms. They weren't going to just trade for Roy Halladay. He was going to be a free agent after the 2010 season. Well, the Phillies are like, we're not going to give the Blue Jays all this talent and then lose them after 2010. So they worked out essentially a 3-year, $60 million contract extension. And that deal was on and off, right? It was they agreed on the players. They thought they had Roy to agree to an extension, then it wasn't going to happen. Then it happened and ended up being a 3-year, $60 million. So same exact thing, right? They would have to have something locked down. Otherwise, there's no sense in making that deal right
when
now.
When those things happen, commissioner's office ends up getting involved too, right? And the Players Association.
Yeah, it slows things up. It slows things up for
Absolutely.
Sure.
All right, back we go to the questions. And Barry wants to know, do the Phils have any chance at acquiring Christian Yelich? We've heard all about the Marlins trading away talent. Obviously, Giancarlo Stanton, D. Gordon have already left the building.
Yeah, I think Yelich is definitely much more likely. Well, I should say he was much more likely than Giancarlo Stanton ever was. You know, the Phillies, kind of like I heard the same thing with the Dodgers. They loved the player, but they didn't love the fact that he was going to be 37 years old making $25 million.
On a
National League team that can't DH. So Yelich, I think absolutely they would be interested in at the right price. Now, what's kind of holding the Phillies up, I think, in terms of position players is they do want to see where, you know, what steps Nick Williams takes this offseason. You know, Odubel Herrera is the only guy signed beyond this season. They want to see if Aaron Altair was on pace to have the best, Phillies' best offensive season based on OPS since Jason Worth in 2010. So they want to give these guys opportunities. Now, if they can get Yelich, I do think that they would love to have Christian Yelich on the team, but it's going to have to be the right price. It's going to have to make sense. Again, I think that their preference is to see what position players kind of sink or swim. So next offseason, they know, okay, you know what? Say for instance, Williams, Altair, and Herrera all play really well this offseason. Now, say Michael Franco doesn't. Now maybe the Phillies go, you know what? We can actually maybe we throw a little bit more money to Machado because we feel really good about our outfield situation. In other words, we don't necessarily maybe need Bryce Harper now. We can get Machado and maybe go out and get a stud starting pitcher. So I think that's what the Phillies' philosophy is this upcoming season.
John wants to know, besides Aaron Nola, is there anyone else on this roster that's untouchable? And you can include the prospects too, I guess.
Boy, I tell you what, I don't think anybody is untouchable. I think the Phillies would be willing to trade anybody for the right at the right price. I do know that they love Aaron Nola, obviously. They love Reese Hoskins. Obviously, he had a great year, and he shows a lot of talent, and I do believe he's going to be a stud.
He's going to be a fan favorite.
He's going to be a fan favorite. You know who else? I personally would not trade him. I would not trade Scott Kingery. I've seen a lot of prospects in spring training over the years, and he really knocked my socks off. I thought he was fantastic offensively, fantastic defensively. He can run. I think he could be like the next Chase Utley type of guy. He's got that style of play, and maybe even with a little bit more personality, because Chase didn't like to smile that much.
Yeah.
Scott seems to enjoy himself out there a little bit. He's on Twitter, Scotty Jetpacks. I mean, he's got some personality to him. I would not trade Scott Kingery unless I got absolutely knocked out and, bowled over. Hey, Mike Trout's available. The Angels call the Phillies and say, we'll give you Mike Trout. You got to include Scott Kingery. I make that trade. But otherwise, I'm holding out to Scott Kingery.
All right. Fair enough. Andrew wants to know. He says, Vince Velasquez, update on the recovery. Is he close?
He's supposed to be fine.
Okay.
He had this little nerve issue late in the season where he couldn't really feel the end of his fingers. Everything I'm told is that he's going to be ready to go in spring training now. He's going to get a shot at a starting job. A lot of people think he should go to the bullpen, and he very well might end up in the bullpen. Vince's problem is that he's a high strikeout guy, but he's up to 100 pitches in the fourth inning.
Right.
It seems like every other start. But I do think, because this is, again, they're rebuilding, they want to make sure they're certain on guys, they're going to give him another opportunity to prove himself. And then down the road, if it doesn't work out, they could throw him in the bullpen.
Lewis wants to know, what do the Phillies expect from Jared Eichhoff this season?
That's a great question. He took a step back this season. His velocity was down. He had some back issues. They shut him down. That, to me, is a big question. I personally loved watching Jared Eichhoff pitch. I thought he was a workhorse. He's not an ace. But when he's good, I thought they had the potential to be a good, solid number three, number four guy. Now, that might not get a lot of people excited, but you need those solid number three, number four guys if you're going to win a World Series. Joe Blanton was a very solid number three, number four in 2008 when the Phillies won the World Series. So he's a big piece of this puzzle for me. If Jared Eichhoff comes back and he's healthy next season and he's effective, I think the Phillies could take a step in the right direction. There's less question marks for me about Jared Eichhoff if he's healthy than there are about a lot of the other pitchers in the organization.
All right, we're going to end on this one, and it's plenty of conversation about this. Trout? Question mark?
Everybody asks about Mike Trout, and what I always tell people about
Why? Because he's always at Eagles games.
He's always at
footballs.
Eagles games. Yes, absolutely. He's at Eagles games getting footballs. I get it. The Phillies would love to go after Mike Trout, but what I always tell people, and I always get proposals like, well, what if the Phillies offer Nola, J.P. Crawford, and Scott Kingery for Mike Trout? And I say, okay, if I'm the Angels, do I trade who could be one of the greatest players in baseball history for Aaron Nola, Scott Kingery, and whomever else? And I say, if I'm the Angels, absolutely not. It would have to be an absolutely ridiculous deal for the Angels to get me to think about trading Mike Trout. Now that you have Ohtani, you got to feel pretty good about your future. And he signed through a long-term deal. He's not becoming a free agent anytime soon. So if you're the Angels, you got to think you can turn around in time with one of the greatest players potentially in baseball history. So I don't think Mike Trout's coming to the Phillies anytime soon. They might have to wait until he becomes a free agent if he doesn't re-up with the Angels by then.
Yeah, the Shohei Ohtani deal was a big damper.
Yeah, it was a killer.
You saw
Mike Trout's tweet. It was the eyeballs tweet, I like this.
I like what I'm saying.
So that was kind of bad news for Phillies fans, I think, in the short term anyway.
All right, great questions from the fans. Todd Zielecki, thanks so much.
Thanks.
That'll do it.